Before we get started on the Bengals Beat podcast, I wanted to let you know that we are now brought to you by 50 West Brewery. They have award-winning beers coupled with a bike shop, canoe and kayak livery, volleyball leagues, running groups, and a killer food menu. At 50 West, they pride themselves on adding value to people's lives through beer. Is there a better way to add value to people's lives than through beer? Whether you're looking to take a float down the river and end with a beer or throw back a couple and play some volleyball, 50 West is unlike any other brewery you've ever seen. Check out their website at 50westbrew.com. That's F-I-F-T-Y, westbrew.com for more information. 50 West, where every beer's a journey. Come join for the ride. Welcome into the BBP. This is the Cincinnati Inquirer's Bengals Beat podcast presented by 50 West Brewery. Here, your Cincinnati.com Bengals Beat writers, Jim Osarski and Paul Weiner Jr. invite you beyond the headlines and inside Paul Brown Stadium for the scoop on all things Bengals. Find out insider news, listen in on conversations with players, coaches, and others relevant to the club. You can subscribe in iTunes, Google Play, or your preferred podcast platform. Of course, you can always listen in the podcast section of our Cincinnati.com Bengals app. Let's go. All right, welcome into the latest edition of the BBP. This is the Bengals Beat podcast presented by 50 West Brewing Company. Paul Weiner Jr. and Jim Osarski here, your Bengals beat writers for Cincinnati.com and the Cincinnati Inquirer. Happy Pittsburgh week to you, Jim.
Yeah. It's exciting. It's like a holiday.
Dude, this week is insane. they had the extra day. We got the extra day
right
with the Monday game, but it's insane. There's so much going on. There's so many storylines. There's so much that people are all geeked up about and mostly frightened by. It's an eventful week as the Bengals beat the Browns and have the Steelers now on deck.
Yeah.
Is that as quick as we've ever turned from one game to the next?
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to even remember who they played before going into Pittsburgh the last time when they're trying to get to 500 and get, I mean, it's like, it's Groundhog Day in a way.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
Chuck Pagano's Groundhog
Day.
No, that's
a very long, we don't have that kind of time on here.
No.
To go into, because you next thing you know, there's a nor'easter coming
right
off Africa.
Google Chuck Pagano and Groundhog Day.
But no,
you're right though, because like the Browns thing was routine in a way. They needed to win, of course.
Yeah.
But, so they did what they had to do, but it was all pointing towards Steelers week.
This team has pretty much mastered how to beat the crap out of the Browns.
Yeah,
I almost
was going to tear my rotator cuff, pat myself on the back for getting the score right.
But you didn't.
No, it was close.
I ended up getting the deficit correct.
Yeah,
so I mean, I'll pat myself on the back a little bit. Can I go through everything we got going on this week real quick? Because it's a crazy week. So first of all, you should know by now, if you don't, we're so geeked about this. Thursday night at 50 West Brewing Company at the Production Works across the street, the big old Production Works, we are going to be doing our live BBP, hitting the record button at 7 o'clock. So you can come on down. If you're not a huge fan of going down to our live events for BTS, like downtown, this is out. You're out off in Newtown. 50 West, if you haven't been there, they have awesome. Their Production Works is fantastic. Tons of good beer. And guess what that good beer is going to be? Half off.
Oh, wow.
Half off, because Optimistic Bobby last week said, you know what? If the Bengals beat the Browns and people are jacked and feeling the optimism with me, I'm going half off beer at the event.
Yeah.
So half off all the 50 West beers that are there. Come down, drink, ask questions. We're going to be live. We'll talk for a little bit. We'll bring some guests through. You can come ask us questions on the record, off the record, after we turn the microphones off. It should be a really fun event. Or just come and hang out and drink half off beer. I don't blame you either way, but it's going to be awesome. It's the first time we've really done this, so we're super excited about it. It should be fun. That's Thursday. That's Thursday.
So will they be drinking half off beers to celebrate a victory over the Browns or to drown pre-sorrow?
I think Steelers. I think they're drinking. I don't know why. I think it's to numb the pain. You know what I mean? To numb the anticipation of the pain, maybe, which is
anticipatory
kind of,
pain.
Anticipatory pain is like what I've seen most from Bengals fans, or heard most.
But not for Bobby, because Bobby will definitely be celebrating the Browns win.
Bobby's celebrating a Browns win because he sees the positive.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. That's why the beers are half off, because he's in a good mood from the
Browns.
It's
literally a beer that's half full or a beer that's half empty.
Right.
Quite literally. We know it's half off. So thank you to 50 West Brewery Company.
Yes. Half off is always good. Yeah. So we're excited about that. So come on down. That's Thursday. Tuesday, of course, we still have BTS going on, Beyond the Stripes at Holy Grail Banks, which is 7 o'clock Tuesday. Alex Erickson is our guest this week. And then the next week after the Steelers game, we're on Wednesday.
Right.
Because we're always 2 days after the game. So we're on Wednesday night. And excited about that.
Yeah.
AJ McCarron will be our guest. The backup quarterback. We'll ask him all about his very interesting, surreal conversation that he had with Jimmy Haslam and Hugh Jackson before the game, amongst other things. And then, Jim, the Tuesday after that, guess who our guest is going to be at Holy Grail Banks on Tuesday?
Tuesday after that.
Guess who?
Man, I don't know.
Corey Dillon. The Corey Dillon, he's going to be in town that weekend as being honored by the Bengals.
That's cool.
Of course, he did the long podcast with me back during
which
the 50s.
Which was great.
He was incredible. So he said he wants to come on BTS. So he's going to come on BTS on that Tuesday. So make sure you come check that. We just got all kinds of stuff going on. It's super exciting. So come on, check all that stuff out. Let's talk about what we do have going on, though, this week with this team. Bengals beat the Browns 30-16, and they're now 5-6. I don't know if they're the media, if they're the craptastic eight anymore, or you can kind of kick a few people off to the side, like
the sucky six.
We might be down to the sucky six.
Yeah,
I'm not sure where we're at with who's actually left. We're recording this before the Ravens game, so Houston might get kicked off to the curb tonight, and then it might maybe be like the sucky five or the
it's bad.
It's bad, but it's sort of right there for these guys.
It is right there, and that's the thing. And we'll hear from George Iloka, who was great, kind of on all of this stuff. But, all these players, all they ever talk about, right, Paul, is what you can control. And there are so many things about that kind of cliche about this week that is so true. Though, there's a couple things. One, they can control. I think they can control whether they win or lose. I've watched a lot of these Steelers games. Everyone knows how I feel about the division. I think the Bengals can go in there and win, or go in there, win on Monday night. I think they can win some of these other games down the stretch that can put them in a position to make the playoffs. But it starts Monday. You wrote about it over the weekend on how, like, sort of the path to get there.
Right.
And they have to finally beat some good teams. Right now, they've won the games they should win, right, against bad clubs. So what are they now? Are they a bad club? Are they mediocre?
We're about to find out.
Right.
Well, I mean, you can really look at it. So the Bengals are 4-0 against teams with 3 wins or less. So they're all 3-8 or worse.
Right.
You got two Browns. A Colts and a Broncos.
Yeah.
Hang those on the wall, right?
Ugh.
You have the one win against Buffalo. So they are 1-6 against teams with more than 3 wins.
Yeah.
So really the real part of their schedule.
Yeah.
If you look at it now, the real part of their schedule, they're 1-6.
Yeah.
It's who they are. Because guess what? The last 5 games of the season, they have the Bears, who are 3-8, and 4 teams that have all won at least 5 games.
Yep.
They're all right there around the 500 mark, or better, or much better, in the case of Pittsburgh and Minnesota.
Right.
Both sitting there 9-2. So, look, you can talk about progress. You can hang your hat on a running game that finally broke out against the Browns. You can talk about turnovers when you pick off Turkey Bowl.
Yeah.
And all that. You are defined at a certain point. You've got to go beat teams that are good if you want to be good, if you want to be deemed as, otherwise you go to where your level is. You fall to where your level is. And one thing with Marvin Lewis teams, they have a tendency, because they always seem to play hard.
Right.
Like some teams, like Pittsburgh, will just drop eggs, just lay eggs against bad clubs and play really well against good teams.
Yeah.
They'll have losses that are confounding.
Right.
And that's across, there's lots of teams like that in this league. Marvin Lewis's teams, one of the staples of them is they're always playing hard. They always seem to play to their level. Maybe you don't like how smart they play. Maybe you don't like their talent. Maybe you don't like a lot of things about them. But they do seem to always play hard, which is why they typically beat the teams they should.
Right.
So I think you learn more accurately with his teams what level they are, because you don't get some of those where they're not really into it.
Right.
And right now, the level that they are is better than three wins and not better much more than that.
8-8?
I would say less than that according to to this.
Yeah. Yeah, according to the way they're going, they've got one win left on the schedule.
Right.
But I you know, look, the Lions are sitting at 6-5. So I think by the time Christmas Eve rolls around, it's going to be a battle of 500. You know what I mean? So and when it's all said and done, the Packers are going to be a 500 team, because the Bengals actually got, by playing the Packers early, got kind of screwed.
Yeah, we thought that was a good thing to not have to go to Lambeau in the cold, but they wish they were facing Brett Hundley as everybody else in the division has got to do.
Yeah. So, no, you're right, though. I mean, because, again, look, I trashed the rest of the league, and deservedly so, but the Steelers are 9-2 and the Vikings are 9-2. Those are real teams with real Super Bowl expectations, and you're going to have to win one of them, and you only got one of them at home, and it's Monday.
Yep, it is.
And while the Steelers have just dragged them over the coals and ran them over and backed over and made fun of them for it and laughed all the way, the games have been close to a point. I mean, the last couple of years, I think there's been a last score or two where you're like, okay, so I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know how you – and this team is so bad statistically in so many ways.
Yeah.
They're statistically worse than they were the first time they played.
Yeah.
Defensively.
Let me bring in George real quick, because he was really good on up front on the topic of – their record against good teams this year. And this is George Iloka talking about this whole concept of them being about to learn exactly how good they actually are.
You guys, you have 5 wins, but four of them have come against teams that are really struggling this year.
Right, yeah.
You guys are 1-6 against teams with more than 3 wins.
All facts.
And you look at the rest of the way out, that's kind of where you're going to have to go through. Do you feel like this is kind of your chance to prove where you guys are at against the better teams? I mean, I guess you always have to do that at some point, but it's just kind of right in front of you like that?
I wouldn't say prove the word. I would say it'll show you who you really are. I mean, like you said, we have 5 wins against, middle-of-the-road teams, and now this end of the last 5 games are against winning teams, better teams. And so we want to end this year off saying, well, we a good team? Well, you got to beat the good team. If all you beat were the – say bad, just the not as good teams, and we're average, and we don't play to be average. We don't go out. We didn't come out this season to try to be average. So if you want to be one of the better teams, you got to beat the better teams. So that's what we have a chance to do this Monday.
I mean, I guess that December football is always like this, but it's really, truly kind of the defining stretch of the season, what you'll be talking about.
Yeah, all our
off season,
games,
what happens in the next few weeks.
All our games, the last 5, every team has a winning record. So, in the previous years in the December, we had maybe a game or two in there against a team that was, below 500. But the way it's shaking out now, they're all pretty good. That's fine.
You like that?
Yeah, because some of y'all look at it like this. Like, honestly, you don't want to. I've been doing this long enough to where you can get – that's why I disappointed yesterday. You can get by with certain things, but it'll show eventually. It'll catch up with you eventually. So if we're not a good team, it'll show. And if we're a good team, it will show. And this is what we have an opportunity to do. So, what's the point of getting some you know, easier games in there in December just to make it to the playoff and play a good team and, you know, lose. You know what I mean? So, yep. Yeah, you play the good teams, win, and that'll show you what kind of team you are and what you have a chance to do going forward. So, yeah.
You know, I like talking to – you always get honesty. You yeah. always get brutal honesty. Before that, he had said, okay, what are the storylines? I'll tell you the storylines.
Right.
And he starts ripping off about prime. We're going to be in prime time. We're going to bounce back defensively. Are we ever going to beat the Steelers? Like he was ripping them off. But you know, when I sort of asked him that, you know, he's like, those are facts. These are all, this is all true. And, you know, and he's you know, you end up at wherever you are. You either rise up if you're good enough, or you fall back down if you're not good enough. It eventually evens out over the course of 16 games,
yeah.
and we're about to learn where the Bengals even out at.
Yeah.
Look, you only get handed the easy schedule for so long.
Right.
You got to make – this was all about – this goes back to a conversation that we had in the previews when back in the training camp. I was of the opinion I thought this team would be better now, far better now than they were
yeah.
at the beginning of the year because I saw a late charge in them because they were so young.
Right.
So if you are rebuilding, or if you are not really rebuilding, if you're reloading,
yeah.
and you feel like this is a team that is ascending to 2018 with all these young players, the 16-17 draft that are playing so well, these are the games that you show that you can win, and you go out and win, and then you feel like you believe in 18. Or it's further away. And I think that's what we'll learn over the last five games. How far away are they?
Right.
Is this new young core the one that's opening a window, or is it still shut and they still need another one of those type of drafts in order to make it happen?
Which is funny because it's like two – it literally is the two sides of the coin Monday night, Paul, because a loss obviously deflates any – expectation of the playoffs in 2017 because it's another AFC loss. It's another check in the wrong tiebreaker box mm-hmm. down the line. However, what kind of loss is it? Is it Joe Mixon runs for 87, 90 yards, has like 112 total yards with an executed screen pass here or there? You know, does Carl Lawson, you know, beat the backup left tackle? And get you, or Jordan Willis, you know what I mean? And Will Jacks plays as good as he did in Pittsburgh against Martavis Bryant, Antonio Brown. You know, Vontaze Burfict isn't a veteran of these games, but does he play like he did 2 weeks ago and doesn't do anything goofy? And they, you know, and it's you know, 30-28 at the gun.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, there's the 10-2 team. Against the five, right? I think depending
absolutely.
How you lose, Andy shows up in prime time and you just get beat.
Yeah.
Kind of like the Arizona game back on Sunday Night Football in 15, where you're like, wow, okay, this could be a Super Bowl preview.
Yeah,
and no one really feels
well.
Bad about it.
Yeah, because it's been obvious when this team has played bad, they've made so many mistakes this year.
Right.
They've been sloppy. They haven't protected. They, you know, so many
right.
things. That where you look at it and you say they're bad, you know, they another team would make a lot of mistakes and the Bengals wouldn't capitalize
right.
on them, things like that. So I mean, this if they go out and Pittsburgh plays well and the Bengals play well and you lose, you are okay with it and you still hold out hope because their path is not dead if they lose to the Steelers. They still have enough
right.
games and the AFC is bad enough that
and
they'd
that
be
might
okay.
make you think a good loss means the offense scored,
yeah,
against a real team.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, wow, okay, they definitely could beat the Bears. It gives them hope to go to Minnesota, which might not – I mean, at that point, depending on what's played out, either have something clinched or whatever.
Yeah.
Or is playing like Teddy Bridgewater for the first time, and who knows how that would go.
Yeah, there's – I mean,
you know,
things change.
Yeah.
Things change. But, I mean, there's a path there. I mean, they have multiple ways to get to 8-8.
Yeah.
You know, the most what could be the most important for them in terms of tiebreakers is getting those AFC wins. That's why Pittsburgh's so important, and that Baltimore game is going to
yeah.
be a must win. You can almost guarantee
right.
that.
Sunday,
but those are the only ones they have. So,
yeah.
so those are the ones they need to capitalize on. You mentioned the run game. I do want to dive into that real quick because if there was one, if we're taking anything away from Sunday's game against the Browns, you say, okay, the Browns had the number one rushing defense in terms of yards allowed per carry in the NFL coming into the game, and they were a top 10 unit overall. So you didn't think, well, this Bengals team who had moved up to fourth all time in worst yards per carry, there's no way that they're going to do anything. Well, lo and behold, what do you know? Joe Mixon goes 23 for 114 and a touchdown. So you saw holes. You saw Joe Mixon running differently.
Yes.
And I think that is really where you maybe are seeing the next step for him. Yeah. Finishing runs with his shoulder down, not trying to make everybody miss, taking 5 yards and hammering out to seven by planting a guy sometimes.
Right.
We saw that multiple times. Running into the back of his line, just try to just push for positive yards and avoid those bad negative plays.
Yeah.
And the team figuring out which play is most likely to produce negative plays.
Yeah.
It's the Browns. So I have two sample sizes in my two hands, right? I have one game against the Browns, and I have the other games against teams that actually win games.
Right.
Right? And those other ones, the Bengals can't run the ball at all.
Right.
They had one game against the Browns. They did. Is this an outlier, or do we really think this is progress?
I think it's – I will put it in the line of progress because, we're fortunate. We get to talk to these guys every day and talk to the coordinators. And I think since Jacksonville – like, you almost have to go, like, the second half of Jacksonville when Jake Fisher was ruled out. You've had 5 linemen and 1 primary running back. And, yeah, it wasn't great in the second half against Jacksonville with no pass threat of a pass. Tennessee was a little better. Denver, again, Bill Lazor, it's the joke. 1.9, are you crazy? Why are you going to keep doing it? Mm-hmm. But, again, you saw, like you said, Paul, a little bit of a change in style, and Joe admitted it. Joe's like, he says, when is it on the running back to make something happen, or do you just need to trust your guys? And he flat out says, I had to trust them.
Yep.
And look what happened. Now, and you mentioned the Browns, and yes, they don't win, but that's not kind of a fake stat of being number 6 against the run overall, number 1 yards per carry, because the Browns are always losing.
Yeah.
So all the teams they play are running the ball.
Running the ball into 8-man boxes.
Yeah, so
it's coming.
Yeah, so it's not like that whole weird we're number 1 against the pass or number 1 against the run, but awful against the pass because.
Yeah.
And Danny Shelton's a legit player, and Miles Garrett's a legit player, and now Jamie Collins is hurt, but those linebackers are not terrible.
Yeah.
So I put it on the strength of progress, especially against Pittsburgh, Paul, because really, when was the last time we saw this team run? First half against Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, in Pittsburgh, who knows? I mean, that's – I just feel like I do think the consistency, there was just so much moving and changing and rotating and different backs and different tackles and different guards.
Yeah.
It was just, how do you develop any sense of what you're good at, what you need to do better, how you need to do it better, and playing off of each other – When everything is a moving part.
Right.
So guess what? When you just let the same people go out there and play, it's better. And you do see maybe possibly real progress.
Right.
And you've seen it in pass protection, which we've noted in recent weeks.
Yeah.
And, you know, this was, according to PFF, the second game this year where they've had a plus 90% pass blocking efficiency rate.
Yeah.
And the other one was against Tennessee, and they pass blocked pretty well against Denver.
Yeah.
Which was up there, not plus 90, but up there. So you could say maybe 3 of their best games of the entire season in pass blocking have come in the last 3.
Yeah.
And now they maybe are figuring the run game out a little bit. At the very least, Joe Mixon seems to have a better understanding of how to be effective.
Right. Which, look, it's all about, you know, this Bengals team. It truly is about the one coming up. So if you apply that to Pittsburgh, the fact that it worked at all this week after just being dreadful against Denver, right? Because Pittsburgh's probably closer to the Denver end of the spectrum in terms of being able to stop the run with fast linebackers, guys who can close, guys who can fill the back end so there's no cutback, all that good stuff. you know, is Joe Mixon going to get 6-8 like he did the first game against Pittsburgh, or 5-8 like he did? Probably not. But I could see 4-1.
Yeah.
And that 60, would be... and 67 yards on the ground, which doesn't sound like amazing, but actually that could be enough.
It could be enough. When you consider where they are, and you consider what's happening with Pittsburgh's secondary right now, which is they're getting toasted deep on a regular basis.
John Ross.
Josh Malone, apparently.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Who was the guy they went to? But, you know, that's and the Bengals have had some success with that recently.
Yeah.
With play action over the top. And guess what? They still have 18. Yeah. So, you know, we're going to get much more into all of that in the BVP on Thursday. So I don't want to dive too much into that. But, you know, I don't – my gut tells me it was an outlier because I'm just so used to seeing those stats. I mean, we would always do that with Jeremy Hill, right?
Oh, yeah. Right.
We would always take his stats and we would break it off into 14 games against non-Browns.
Right.
And, like, these are the real Hill stats.
Right.
And they would be bad. And then you'd have the Browns stats, and they'd all be, you know, 5.8 per rush. You know, so I gotta see them go do it against a real defense and not a team that has won one game in 2 years.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens there. With that, I do want to bring in our Jolly Plumbing Jack of All Trades, Player of the Game nominees. Jolly Plumbing, of course, we always give this award to the person who puts in all the hard work, doesn't ask for any of the accolades. And I think it was all universally praised across the board. And you talk about never usually getting praise. All three interior linemen are my nominees. Trey Hopkins, Russ Bodine, and Clint Bowling had a great day against, you mentioned Danny Shelton. They've got some beasts on there on the inside. One thing they do have is some nice interior linemen. The Bengals were able to move them around. Russ Bodine was out on some pulls sometimes, making some plays on screens. They did a good job of getting out in front. So credit to them. Do you pick one of the three? Do you want to pick one of the three?
You know, just because it'll make Bengals Twitter mad. I'll go with Russ Bodine.
Yeah.
You know, there were still some plays out there where you're just like, well, you know, what's going on? But for the most part, look, when the coaches finally praise you after, you know, 10 weeks of silence.
Yeah.
he was out there. You saw 61. And, of course, look, you can't help but notice him on the game-winning touchdown, you know, helping his running back into the end zone. Kind of a fun moment, and he had some fun with that too post-game. So I'll go with the center.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I think he takes a lot of deserved criticism.
Yeah.
But he did have a good game, and a lot of those guys up front did. And I thought you saw him more active out in space and things like that. So that is our Jolly Plumbing Jack of All Trades Player of the Game. Remember, Jolly Plumbing, the honest choice for all of your plumbing needs. Since we went ahead and gave the Jolly Plumbing Jack of All Trades Player of the Game, Russ Bodine, can we hear from Russell Bodine? Let's do that.
I think so.
Let's hear from Russ after the game. I thought he was pretty good on a lot of topics involving the running game and where they're at as a line with that. So here's Russell Bodine.
From that meeting that you talked about that kind of clicked today a little bit?
You know, the biggest thing I think was just we talked about we just wanted to finish. You know, we had told him, you know, at the end of those runs, you know, you get those kind of situations where there's, you know, everybody, the line's been pushed, you know, a couple yards or whatever, and there's three there, you know, run into us, push the whole thing. You know, every run's not going to be a home run. Push it, you know, push that 3 into 5, that 5 into 7, and that kind of stuff. And, you know, every yard matters, especially in those situations, those last drive kind of deals. And, you know, you definitely saw him doing that today. Like I said, running people over at the end of plays and being physical with the ball.
Like you kind of tried to carry him through there on the last touchdown. Was he trying to get the assist on the touchdown?
No, I'll be honest, that wasn't quite intentional. 53, they blitzed over there. You know, it was kind of a fire zone deal. 53 went over the top. So I was really just trying to push him by. And when I pushed him, he cut back underneath him and ran right into me. So I was everything I could do was just hold him up with one arm. You know, I obviously didn't want to be tackling him on the 1 yard line looking like an idiot. Yeah. So. But, you know, obviously glad he got in. Big for the team, big for him.
What's the biggest thing that you guys feel like you've been working on in the run game that maybe you felt like was started to go the right way today for you?
You know, to be honest with you, we haven't done a whole lot different. It's been one of those things you kind of just – emphasize every man do their job. You know, everybody do your job. Get everybody on the same page, and you know, that's really what it takes to run the ball successfully. You know, especially there's so many parts that go into in the run game. You know, you got even the receivers are getting in there. When you got extra safeties in the box, you know, stuff like that, they're bringing people down in there. They're digging safeties out, and you know, it really is a team thing. And you have to have every guy doing their job on every play, or that one defender makes a play. And that's a little bit of what's been happening, you know, going throughout the year. And you know, obviously, glad it looked like it clicked a lot better for us today. And we just need to keep working to make sure it keeps clicking for us the rest of the year.
Okay, so there was Russell Bodine. Let's move on now. Let's, I guess, talk about this defense. Who are they? What are they?
Yeah.
I mean, you go from thinking that they can really be a top team to looking like a very mediocre group to being unable to protect leads. You know, 3 weeks in a row, we have seen them have a lead and either allow a team back into it within a score or give up the win. When the other team has had a little more urgency, that's a concern, especially in the prism of what you're going to see against Pittsburgh. If you do happen to have a lead and you think you're going to win a game, Ben and Antonio Brown have proven over and over again, they did again this past Sunday night, that they can come back on you in a hurry.
Yeah, and you know, and it's funny, Paul, because I think early in the year, you may have heard, well, this defense could be really good, but they're always playing from behind. And, you know, what is their strength is to be able to have a lead and pin their ears back. And it's Carl Lawson and Geno and, you know, doing their thing. And you know, you're right. I mean, statistically, top they are literally number 10 in points for, which is the bar they set.
Yes.
Like, it's all about points for them. But they're 10th, which top 10 sounds great, but you're kind of close or to the middle of the pack at 10 than you are at 4. 13th in yards against, which is, you know, I think Paulie G would be okay with that. 5th against the pass, 28th against the run. That's kind of where you get your imbalance because teams just run it on you. Bad teams run it on you.
Yeah.
Bad teams like Turkey Bowl and the Browns have 75-yard scoring drives and 90-yard scoring drives.
Browns with 5.5 yards a clip yesterday on the ground.
Yeah, I don't know, Paul. I mean, you guys can remember this, our Steelers week last game when the rankings were so much better. They were like 3rd in scoring and 3rd overall and, you know, and whatever. And I was like, okay, this is the game. You know, I picked the Bengals to win because I thought that was the plant your flag game. I don't know. I honestly put it this way. If this was a top 5 offense, I would say this is a championship level defense because I would say they get off the field enough, they do just enough to give you points and give you short fields and can stop a team. But when your offense is one of the worst in the league, you're kind of like, well, they're average.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, their great runs are not often rewarded on the other side. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When they have 4, 5, 6 straight series where they get off the field quickly and set the team up, it's not often rewarded on the other side, and that momentum doesn't build, and they don't play from ahead and get able to pin their ears back. And then their struggle stopping the run, their inconsistency all year, and what they've seen in allowing teams to come back into games or win games against them is an issue, and it's part of their story of this season. And you know, they're not good enough to carry a team that has a bad offense.
No.
That's apparent. So I don't know what they are, but I know that, you know, they've always done a pretty good job of having a plan for Antonio Brown, but you look at Le'Veon Bell and you wonder how many that dude's going to go for.
Yeah.
I mean, because he can tear up anybody, much less a team that allows the Browns and the Broncos to do what they've done to him.
Yeah, you know, they took Frank Gore and threw him in the fountain of youth.
Yeah.
Against the Colts, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, it's strange. All I can say about that is they look one way when 55 is in it and playing well, and they look another way when he's not. You know, and that includes when he's sitting in the locker room in Tennessee.
He,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. He was kind of a non-factor on
after
Sunday.
After an early flag, he was kind of out of it.
He caught an early flag, which the league is, you know, it was again for a hit on a defenseless receiver, which Marvin Lewis called a legal play, and the league basically agreed not suspending him because it was, you know, there's similarities to be drawn to some of the most famous ones that he's been a part of, which
led to suspensions.
That led to suspensions. Anthony Sherman earlier in the preseason and Max Williams back from the 2015 season finale. And the league said no suspension. And it's, again, targeting a guy. But is it legal? Yes. But you know, like when you know,
right.
When you know that they're looking for it, do you? And I get it. I'm playing football within the rules, but your rules are not the same rules as everybody else plays under.
Right.
And that's hard. I mean, that's hard to accept.
Yeah. And look here, there's a sense in the building, Paul, that penalty took Vontaze out of the game emotionally.
Yeah.
And we saw the effects of that physically. He was a non-factor. You didn't see 55 at all. I mean, where were the plays? I mean, and he just played his best game.
Yeah.
In Denver.
Yeah.
So that's and look, and the Steelers are going to do Steeler things to get him riled up
and get him out of the game emotionally.
Yeah. The other way.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So you know, he's got to find that balance, and this defense needs him to find the balance. Not just Monday. But going forward, when we say, what defense is this? Because when he's that dude, every one of his teammates say it. When he's doing perfect things, they all play with a different swagger, with a different level. They all say it. Vinny Ray, you know, like probably the most polar opposite player and personality that you could find is like we all just get so fired up when that dude does him. So I think all we just talked about really can, like,
if he can just keep himself checked in mentally, there's no reason to believe you wouldn't see one of those types of games out of him potentially.
Right.
But he's got to stay checked in mentally, and there's it's from week to week. It's
right.
You know, you can't let one flag get to you.
Right.
You can't let one call get to you. And it's this is part of who he is now. It's part of the refs are clearly they're going to be looking for that, and they're going to try to throw message flags.
Right.
Which
especially against that team in this stadium on Monday night.
Everyone watching.
Right.
Al Riveron staring intently at the monitor. So it's going to be part of it for him, and that's a big part of this defense figuring out who they are. Can we talk about food?
Yeah,
it's time to talk about food. We talk about Blue Apron because, you know, the meals just show up on your front porch, and it's so great. Do you did you have any particular? What would you have this week?
Yeah, you know, I'm not a huge shellfish fan, Paul, but the Blue Apron seafood is something I had to go with because I've got their fisheries are part of over 150 local farms, fisheries and ranchers in the United States. And their seafood is sourced sustainably with a partnership with the Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch. And it's just, I don't know, I was in that kind of mood.
Yeah.
We were on the road. Yeah.
Monterey Bay Seafood Watch. It's a good one.
Hey, you know why? Because it's because Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient recipe delivery service in the country.
Yep.
And it's their mission is to make sure incredible home cooking is accessible to everyone. So I mentioned the seafood, so I'm going with the crispy wild Alaskan pollock with garlic, mashed potatoes, roasted broccoli, and tartar sauce. I like broccoli, Paul. I'm a grown man, and therefore I eat my vegetables.
Yeah, it's
true. Look, check out this week's menu. Get $30 off your first order with free shipping. And how do you do that? By going to blueapron.com/beat. Because every meal comes with step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe card and pre-portioned ingredients in 40 minutes or less. And we're giving you this deal.
Yep.
Right? $30 off the free order, blueapron.com/beat. You'll love how good it feels, how good it tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So do not wait. That's blueapron.com/beat. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
Blue Apron makes you feel good. The Steelers make you feel bad.
It's true.
This is my segue. You know, because I want to just dive into this one element of next Monday's game, where we have so much more we're going to be getting to on Thursday at the live BBP. But this one element sort of caught me a little bit today. And that was this. Bengals fans are in a bad way. There's a toxic stew right now.
Yeah.
Almost all of it directed at the head coach. And that's apparent.
Yeah.
The last two home games, a sign has been ripped down. One saying change is good. The other one saying hope is not a plan.
Yeah.
The team, you know, Doc wrote about this a little bit in his TML on Monday. You can read it there. You know, it's small, but it's a sign that those signs are almost always like it's some cheery little optimistic right. fun thing. That even those have gone
right,
gone to the dogs. You know, and because it's been so long for Bengals fans, and we hear from so many of you, whether on social media, on Twitter, on email. It's been so long since there's been like a moment,
yeah.
a good moment where this to make people remember why they're fans of this team.
Right.
I mean, it's been since 2015.
Yeah.
When there's been a moment like that to make people know that being a fan of the Bengals is not filled with embarrassment and angst and dread right. of the Steelers. But when I put a thing out saying huge stakes on Monday Night Football now, Bengals and Steelers. My mentions just hammered with yeah. everyone. We're going to get right. embarrassed. This is going to be ugly. I'm waiting for the massacre. Right. It's going to be, it would take a miracle of loaves and fishes.
Like, right.
Not a single, hey, I'm hopeful that we're going to win this one. Maybe we'll surprise them. Literally nothing like that.
Right.
And that took me as the latest example of what is maybe in the bigger picture, bigger than this season, what is really on the line on Monday Night Football?
Yeah.
Because nothing brings out the moment like the Steelers. Nothing right. brings out the emotions and the soul searching of how you really feel about this team than the Steelers.
Right.
And everyone in the dread zone right now, expecting right. the worst, if they were to, on prime time, actually pull this off and deliver a moment, a Dre Kirkpatrick pick six of Peyton Manning, a Geno Atkins planting Carson Palmer in his first game back here,
right.
something like that that made Bengals fans feel proud to be Bengals fans, that can change so much.
Right.
Fans are not coming to these games.
No.
They were 51 and some change.
Yeah. Announced.
Announced. And that was a lot of Browns fans. And I know we hear from season ticket holders, many of them are sitting there at that stadium wondering if they're going to renew for next year.
Yeah.
And many of them thinking, if the coach is back, I'm not going to. Well, the only things that change that is if you make change, if you make people want to be part of a special something.
Right.
I don't think that they have it on their schedule other than this.
Yeah, no, I definitely. And, you know, look, there's going to be a lot of black and gold in this Paul Brown Stadium.
Yeah.
Easier, cheaper ticket to get
yeah.
than Heinz Field.
Always
so there's going to be that. But you're right, though, Paul. Because, look, football is, even for fandom, is an emotional thing. Because, look, if you get the moment, and frankly, I'll put it on a quarterback.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, Joe Mixon might run for 140 yards and become the national star that his talent has, you know what I mean, in Monday Night Football. But at some point, the quarterback's going to have to make a play. He's going to have to make a throw. And if that happens, even if it's like a statistically a Browns game where it's like 14 for 25, 240, and like nothing great,
mm-hmm.
but if he does that, they win. I think it catapults him because you got winnable games coming up, and then
absolutely
things change. And look, you know, yeah, you're right, though. They need fans need that.
Fans
whatever
need that.
That is going to be.
Yeah. And I mean, they're in a crisis with their fans right now.
Yeah.
I don't think we should sugarcoat that. I mean,
no.
People listening to this know exactly what I'm talking about.
Right.
The way they talk with – the way there is talk at when they're at watching, when they're at the games, when they come to our shows, when
right.
we see fans are in crisis mode with this franchise, with where they're at. And that has to change. And it goes back to the conversation at the beginning, this young group and this quarterback
yeah.
lifting it up to help open another window. And that makes believers of everybody, and everybody's on board. And that's great. But you have to bring them back in with something.
Right.
And I don't think there's any way, even if they lost this game and then they found some way to just backdoor into the playoffs.
Right.
I don't know that it would still bring people back. I think people would be unsatisfied.
Yeah.
But I think winning and doing it will change everything for the way fans feel,
right.
for the way fans spend.
Yeah.
For the way fans emotionally invest without being scared.
Right.
Or it will reinforce everything that they already think they believe.
Yeah, because it's a home game. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
a win in mid-December
you live
in Minnesota would look good. And, you know, a win in December 31st in Baltimore and, you know.
Yeah.
It's a home game against those guys, you know. And look, let's face it. If they're going to win, it's going to be ugly. It's going to take, you know, Sean Williams-esque. One of the best interceptions I've seen live.
Yeah.
You know, and that type of thing, it's going to be ugly because this is an ugly team.
Yeah.
But
if they hit a couple of bombs and that are nice, that the quarterback puts it on point,
yeah.
and 18 makes a play or whatever, and it, things can change for you.
Yeah, and I do think, and you're right, there's going to be fatigue, and even if they win, you'll get a lot of yeah buts.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah, but, and that's fine, but... You know, you're right though, Paul. I think you hit it right on with that there, you know,
it's there needs to be this something. This is more than a single game. We say that a lot, but I think it, for different reasons than normal because
right.
because of a fan base a bit in crisis
right.
with how they feel about this team. All right, let's move on. We got to talk about ZipRecruiter.
Yeah.
Do you got anything?
Still wondering about yeah. you know. Who's working where and when
yeah.
on January 2nd, 2018.
Exactly.
But even between now and then, Paul, because everyone's in need of great talent for your business and short on time, see? So you don't have to get lost in a huge stack of resumes to find your perfect hire. You need the right tools, smarter tools. So if you're hiring, you know that quality hires keep your business moving forward, as we're saying. But you also know it can take a lot of time and to find the right candidate for that job. So with ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards with just one click. Then ZipRecruiter puts a smart matching technology to work, actively notifying qualified candidates about your job within minutes of posting. So you receive the best possible matches, which is no wonder why 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get quality candidate through the site in just one day, Paul. ZipRecruiter, it's the smartest way to hire. So, to find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by growing businesses of all sizes and industries to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results, go to ZipRecruiter.com. You can try it for free. Why? Because you're listening to us. Our listeners, post your job on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/beat. That's ZipRecruiter.com/beat. One more time. Try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/beat.
All right. Time for power rankings.
Yeah.
Time for power rankings. So, as you know, on this podcast, we like to make fun of how stupid power rankings are because power rankings of NFL teams are dumb and make no sense. So
right.
we like to power rank things that are dumb and really have no real effect on anything.
Right.
So, you guys, of course, sent us all of your suggestions. Well, the one that I chose to go with today, Jim, are you ready?
Yeah.
We're going to power rank marsupials. That's it. Yes.
You guys are crazy.
I know. I love this one. Ever since it was suggested, I've been looking forward to this one. There are like hundreds of different species of marsupials, but most of them are offshoots off a basic. I'm just going to run off this basic. How many do I have here? 9. I have a basic 9, I think. I have the Tasmanian devil, the possum, the glider, which I wasn't super familiar with.
Yeah.
Kangaroo, wallaby, koala, numbat, and wombat.
Okay.
All right. So let's do top two, bottom two. Power ranking marsupials, which are lovely.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's go top two. What do you got, top two?
Top two. I'm gonna go chalk.
Chalk.
I'm gonna go
what
chalk.
Is, what is marsupial chalk?
It's
I'm
pretty
curious.
Simple. Yeah. Number two for me would be the Tasmanian devil.
Wow.
First of all, I'm anti-arboreal marsupial. I like my marsupials to be on the ground.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah, you. Need,
so
you can
and
keep an
I
eye
like
on
them
him.
To be a little badass. So yeah, number yeah. two is for me is Tasmanian devil, because it eats other marsupials.
Yeah,
and so it's not weak; it's strong.
Yeah,
but it's number two because it's not the strongest. Yeah. In my opinion.
And it does have a sweet cartoon. I mean, the Tasmanian devil.
That is true. It
has
been,
that going for
it. Has been appropriated in a
Americanized. Way. Yeah. So that's not a positive. I don't know. So you have Tasmanian devil as two. I have koala as two.
Okay.
Because you know what I like? Cute things.
Yeah.
Cute little koala hanging out. I know your arboreal issues, but hanging out in a tree, yeah. chilling, little koala action. Like to me, that's a loving okay. thing. I'm into it.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm a little softy yeah. when it comes to my marsupials. But I'm a koala guy there. So what's your number one?
Kangaroo.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah. Kangaroo's largely because I think the kangaroo can spot me on the bench press.
Yeah.
And I could throw some, like, 40-pound Zeitler-sized dumbbells in the pouch. I just think the kangaroo has its image has changed since I was a kid.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be like the Winnie the Pooh kangaroo. Mm. And now you see kangaroos with, like, crazy pecs and, like,
dude,
giant
they're like
arms.
They're like ninjas now.
So on one hand, I'm scared of them. Like, I think I'm afraid of the kangaroo apocalypse more than the zombie apocalypse.
Cause that I think is a frightening thought.
So, you know?
I hear
so
you.
I'm rocking with the kangaroo.
A kangaroo will whoop an ass. Yes. Okay? Like, in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
And that's kind of cool. And I like the pouch. And I like the hopping, but mostly it's that it will whoop you. Like it's a frightening animal. I hadn't thought about a kangaroo apocalypse, so I'm frightened.
Yeah. That's crazy. The climate's changing. Yeah. I don't know. There could be like kangaroos running down the banks.
Let's hope not. All right, bottom two. What's your bottom two?
Number two is I'm actually going koala. Bottom two.
Oh, come on.
You know why?
Cute.
A, they live in trees and they're mean. So while.
They're not that mean.
Oh, they're super mean. They're Google not, it. Google koala
are
mean.
Really mean?
Yes, dude.
Google
dude,
koala.
You don't want a koala anywhere near you. You try to hug a koala, it will eat your face. And while I feel like, look, if we're going to fight a marsupial, I feel like you can get up close. Like, look, the kangaroo might knock you out, but I feel if you get close, like inside there, you can wah, and you can get some punches in. Whereas the koala will get like it's small, it'll
face.
Get on your face and eat it, and then jump in a tree.
I think you're overestimating how violent koalas are. I don't think I don't think that's as
Google
much
it.
Part of them. I don't think that's as much
tweet
part
it.
Of them.
Yeah, add us. Add us like angry koalas. It exists.
I'm angry koalas. I hope.
I could be.
My number two is a wombat. I don't need no wombats. Yeah. What is a wombat doing? Why are you even here? Like, get I don't like things like that. Any type of bat. Okay, particularly of the womb variety. Like, I'm not into it. My number one that I don't like, possum.
Yeah.
Come on,
that's
possum.
That's chalk. I'm going to go with possum, too.
It is. Yeah. I mean, it's clearly, I feel like I always have remorse if I hit something on an old country road, like, oh, no, what was it? Kind of, unless it's a possum. I'm sort of like, hey, you know what? That's,
I do,
that's
I do
what
feel
possums are there for. They're there to get run over on old country roads. That's what they are.
I do feel bad for them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, they're ugly. And people get hit by, if they are hit by a car, no one feels bad.
They just hang there.
Yeah.
They're always hanging upside down. I mean, it's got to go to their head.
They scare the heck out of people because they're like, you know what I mean?
They're creepy.
Like a raccoon. I know it's not a marsupial, but like a raccoon. People are like, oh, look, there's a raccoon like tearing up all my stuff.
But they're still kind of
cute.
Yeah.
And then like, oh, there's an opossum. Ugh. You know? So I feel bad for them, but it doesn't mean I can't rank them number one on the worst list of marsupials.
Yeah, got to do it. Got to do it. That is kind of the reaction anytime you see one.
Yeah,
I'm with you. All right, why are you mad? Let's get out of here.
You know what I'm mad about?
What?
That eventually Thanksgiving leftovers run out.
Yeah.
It doesn't make me sad. No. Like, I got angry this afternoon, Paul, here at Paul Brown Stadium when I ate the last of my homemade cranberry. Mm-hmm. That made me, like, I got mad about it.
You wanted more.
I did. And I was mad, and I got, like, hot around the collar knowing when I go home, while I'm excited about my Blue Apron seafood, I don't have sweet potatoes.
Yeah.
And I could, you're going to tell me you can make all that stuff again, but it's not the same.
No, you want the one.
It makes me mad.
It's almost nostalgic.
It's not a sadness. It's an anger.
Yeah. I'm happy because I had a critical move of avoiding LED lights. LED lights do not look like Christmas.
No, they
don't,
look
like
they?
It's like robot Christmas.
Yeah.
They look weird, and the old lights are like the dim kind of yellow if they're supposed to be white, or you have the different colors, but the LEDs, they're just like some weird different. You need the old school. So I was looking at doing some exterior illumination. Ended up making sure to go away from the LEDs.
Yeah.
It was 100% the right decision. My neighbor has some LEDs up, and they look bad. And so now I look good.
Yeah.
And so I'm happy about that.
It makes it happy.
It does make me happy. So I'm happy about that. All right, we're going to wrap it up. Good BBP.
Yeah.
Good BBP. Man. Angry koalas. I had no idea. So, all right, again. So we're going to get out of here. Just a reminder, Thursday.
Yeah.
We're hitting the record button at 7 o'clock at 50 West Production Works out in Newtown. Optimistic Bobby will be there. Optimistic Lindsay will be there. You can ask questions on Off the Record. We're going to have a whole fun live BBP event. Half off all beer, thanks to Optimistic Bobby. So it should be a great time. Please come out. We love to see you. It should be a really fun time. Hopefully see you there. And then, of course, BTS this Tuesday, next Wednesday. And then the Tuesday after that.
Yeah.
Hopefully you follow that. We'll keep reminding you, so don't worry about it. Anyway, thanks again for listening, and we will be hopefully seeing you maybe live at 50 West on Thursday. So we'll talk to you later.